Chapter 11.
Well, how do you like them apples?
Ida turned to Nans.
Mona, tell us all about this Earl guy. Who would want to kill him?
Obviously, the McDonald's did it, Ruth cut in. Nans shook her head.
Not necessarily.
Really? Ruth screwed up her face at Nans.
The body was in their basement, so they must have done it or been a party to it. Not if they weren't home at the time.
Nans picked her giant purse up from the floor and put it in her lap. Snapping open the clasp, she plunged her hand into the cavernous opening.
You expect us to believe someone broke into their house and hid the body, then redid their basement while they were out to dinner?
Of course not, Nans retorted as she rummaged inside the purse.
No one could do that in one night. But now that we know the exact date, I seem to recall that was the summer the McDonald's went to Europe. They were gone for a whole month.
Wouldn't they have noticed that someone redid their basement when they got home?
Helen asked.
Well, that's the thing. They were having the basement redone that summer. That was one of the reasons they planned the trip. It was perfect timing to get away from the construction.
Nan shrugged.
Someone could have used that as a convenient way to hide the body.
This still doesn't add up, Jack cut in. Even if the McDonald's were in Europe, one of the neighbors would have noticed something.
That's right, Ida said. Surely it would smell. Did you notice anything funny over there, Mona? Any odd activity or a funny smell?
No, but I wouldn't have, because that summer was when the Ferguson's toddler flushed Legos down the toilet, and their septic system backed up all over the backyard.
Nans wrinkled her nose.
Boy, did that create a stench. The whole neighborhood walked around holding their noses for weeks.
Would that cover the smell of a dead body? Lexi asked Jack.
Jack nodded. And even if it didn't, who would be able to differentiate?
So, I guess this puts Tommy O'Keefe in the clear, Ruth said.
But implicates Bobby Nussbaum,
Helen added.
Or the stranger,
Nans cut in.
Stranger?
Ida, Ruth, Helen, and Jack looked at Nans. Nans nodded.
Yeah, you remember we talked about that at the McDonald's, Lexi?
Lexi did remember them mentioning it. But how would a stranger know the McDonald's were away? And how would they gain access to the basement?
Not to mention, how would they make the secret room and close it up without Bobby Nussbaum noticing?
Jack added.
Well, it seems all fingers point to Nussbaum.
Ruth pulled her purse off the back of her chair and rummaged inside, pulling out an iPad, which she placed on the table in front of her.
Either it was him, or he was in cahoots with someone,
Helen offered.
Someone who knew the McDonald's were gone, Lexi said.
And who would know that? Ruth asked.
Ida snapped her fingers.
The other neighbors.
That's right. And a lot of them still live in the neighborhood.
I'll talk to some of them tonight when I get home. Do you want to come with me, Nans?
Lexi turned to Nans, who stood there with her cell phone in her hand.
What?
Nans glanced up from the cell phone display.
Sorry, I have some stuff going on tonight. And right now, I have to warn the McDonald's that Davies is coming.
Ida stared after Nans, who had walked to the other side of the bakery to make her phone call, then turned back to the group at the table.
Never mind her. We need to divvy up the assignments.
Right.
Helen said, and they all leaned forward.
What do you suggest, Jack?
Ida asked.
Jack shrugged.
Well, I guess I'd check out this Nestbaum character, first of all.
If he's even still alive, I believe Mona said he had passed on.
Helen mumbled around the last bite of her brownie.
Nope, he's alive.
Ruth slid the iPad into the center of the table and pointed to a blurb of text on the display. Says right here, he still lives in town.
Well, it's good to know Mona isn't right about everything.
Ida glanced uneasily across the room at Nance.
Still, I wonder if she's feeling okay. She seems a mite distracted.
Ruth snickered.
It's probably that new boyfriend of hers.
Or the fact that Davies might see her as a suspect now,
Jack said. Lexi chewed her bottom lip.
That's silly. Nance wouldn't have had anything to do with that. Why, back then, my grandpa was still alive and he was a cop.
Well, Davies might not see it that way. You know how she is.
Ruth rolled her eyes.
Anyway, Helen and I will check out this Bobby Nestbaum online and see if he got a big influx of money or if there are any news articles about him. Jack, maybe you can feel Davies out. Maybe she'll be more forthcoming with information on the case now that you aren't a suspect,
Ida said. Jack laughed.
I doubt that, but I'll try.
And I'll ask around the neighborhood to see what some of the old neighbors know about Earl Shute, Lexi offered.
Sounds like a plan.
Ida brushed the crumbs from her fingers onto her plate and then looked up at Lexi.
But you'd best be careful, because one of those neighbors could be a cold-blooded killer.
Earl Shute was the kind of guy who brought trouble with him wherever he went,
Ed Johnston said, as he munched on one of Lexi's meringue cookies. His eyes narrowed at the house next to Lexi's, the house Earl Shute once lived in. Lexi had figured the elderly Mr. Johnston would be a wealth of information. He'd lived in the neighborhood forever and surveyed the goings-on from his porch daily. Lexi had run across the street to his house as soon as she'd gotten home from the bakery. And now they sat on twin rocking chairs, enjoying a light summer evening breeze as Lexi picked his memory.
What do you mean? Lexi asked.
He wasn't a pleasant person, was always stirring up trouble.
What kind of trouble?
Well, for example, he didn't keep that house very nice. Had trash all over the lawn, and he put up a fence halfway into the neighbor's yard. I know your grandpa had a few words with him, and Floyd Nichols on the other side almost came to blows with him one night out in the street.
Ed chuckled at the memory.
Really?
Lexi's nerves tingled.
Could Floyd Nichols be the killer?
But how would he have gotten the body into the McDonald's basement and closed it up in that little room? Maybe he killed Earl and then hired Nestbaum to help him?
Anyway, I tried to steer clear of him,
Ed said. So you didn't notice when he disappeared?
Disappeared? No. Well, I did notice the neighborhood was more pleasant, and then one day I realized it was because he wasn't here picking fights. But I couldn't pinpoint an exact day when he wasn't here anymore.
You heard about the body at the McDonald's?
Yeah, creepy.
Ed picked another cookie out of the white bakery box Lexi had given him.
These are good.
Really?
Lexi's hope rose.
You don't think they need more sugar?
Ed swallowed the cookie and pressed his lips together.
Maybe. Hard to say. Anyway, the body at the McDonald's, how'd it get in there?
That's what I'm trying to find out. Lexi looked at him out of the corner of her eye. That's why I was asking about Earl.
Ed's eyes widened.
You mean it was Earl in there?
Yep.
Lois and Charlie killed Earl?
No. I mean, I don't think so. The police say he died in the summer of 55, and Nan said the McDonald's were away that summer. Ed squinted up at the evening sky.
They did go away one summer. I can't remember the exact year, but I remember they traveled to Europe because they came back and Lois stunk up the whole neighborhood with some spicy cooking. Indian, I think.
Stunk up the neighborhood? That reminded Lexi of the septic system. Nan said something about one of the neighbor's septic systems backing up that summer, too.
I don't recall that. Could be. If it was over on your side of the street, I might not have smelled it. Who was it?
The Fergusons?
Oh, yeah. They were on the same street as the McDonald's, but down a few houses.
Ed shrugged.
I'm glad I didn't have to smell that. It can be right awful. Lois's cooking was bad enough.
Nan's also said something about some stranger that was in the neighborhood that summer. Ed thought for a bit, then said,
I don't remember no stranger. Of course, I don't spend all my time on the porch watching the neighborhood like some people think.
Of course not, Lexi soothed. But you did see Floyd Nichols fighting with Earl?
Yeah, sure as day, right out in the street, fists up and everything.
Do you know what they were fighting about? Ed shrugged.
Could have been lots of things. I think I heard Floyd yelling about the fence, though.
And did you see Earl around after that?
What? Well, I don't know. It was shortly after that, I think, I noticed the neighborhood was a lot quieter. And then I realized I hadn't seen Earl in a while.
Didn't anyone notice that Earl just went missing?
No. Who would care? I think people were relieved, what with the insurance scam and all.
Lexi's eyes widened. Insurance scam?
Yeah. Would you believe Earl was passing himself off as a life insurance agent? Took money from half the neighborhood.
Ed clucked and shook his head.
Of course, I didn't fall for it. But some others lost several thousand, and that was a lot of money in those days.
Was Floyd one of them?
I think so. And I think the McDonald's were, too. Hey, come to think of it, that's right around the time Earl disappeared.
Ed turned to Lexi, realization dawning on his face.
You don't think one of them killed him over it? Do you?